Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome to this weekly news wrap brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Hammond Munoy and Nandine Tini.
Hi.
We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies and laugh about the weird ones. Let's get comfortable and let's dive right in. So obviously the first thing that we have to talk about is the Pretoria Girls High. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made a few It made a few waves on the social media platforms, and it was, you know, it was the normal thing that we usually see when it comes to school and racism. There's a lot of hair revolved, the hair talk revolved, and apparently this time it was a group chat discussion, right? So in the group chat, apparently there was just a lot of, according to the Department of Education, the school itself was alerted by the Tshwane South District about a planned protest by a group of pupils that was supposed to happen the following day, and also this resulted because of alleged messages that were shared on a group chat that only consisted of white girls. And apparently in these group chats, it was just a matter of these girls going on about how, you know, people should get over apartheid. That was actually one of the statements there, which actually shocked me when I was reading it. Let's listen to the audio from the department on that.
Steve Mabona, Gauteng Education spokesperson. The Gauteng Department of Education is aware that about 12 learners from Pretoria High School for Girls were suspended in response to the allegations of racism at the school. Accordingly, on the 18th of July 2024, the school alerted the district about a planned protest by a group of learners, which was scheduled for Friday, the 19th of July 2024. We understand that this was triggered by an alleged racial connotations and complaints about black learners, which were ventilated through a WhatsApp group comprising of white learners only. The conversations allegedly included the racial commentaries and about the dissatisfaction among the black learners regarding issues they faced at the school, alluding to these issues as being insignificant. Among others, the black hair protest was also mentioned in the, you know, WhatsApp group. This is an incident that occurred in 2016. An urgent meeting was then facilitated with all the affected or the group of learners that were planning to protest so that they can be given a hearing on their grievances, which included alleged racism and a WhatsApp group created by and consisting of only white learners, where alleged racial connotations were then channeled to other learners. Alleged repeated instances of racism with little to no action allegedly taken by the principal. Alleged non-responsiveness by the principal in addressing some of the issues of racism that were put on her table. Alleged bullying incidences not being addressed by the school management team. They also indicated that this alleged preferential treatment to white learners by the principal and some staff members. Alleged selective application of the school code of conduct, which they deem to be harsher to the black learners when you compare with the white learners. All these are allegations. And the SGB decided to suspend all implicated learners, and their disciplinary hearing will then be taking place on the 30th and the 31st of July 2024.
So one of the reporters was there, Ujine Chabalala, and she was speaking to the parents at the schools. And it was just, most of the parents were just coming out and we were trying to get in a sense of, is this something that's continuously happening at the Pretoria Girls High? Because this is not the first time we hear about Pretoria Girls High in the news. I remember in 2016, there was also a problem with, again, hair, again, skirts. And they just felt that, no, they're experiencing racism, whilst the white students, the white counterparts at the school, they're not experiencing anything. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
Well, when they said that people should get over apartheid, what do they mean? Because I feel as though we are still going to fight the same battle, and as South Africans, and also, let me just say, as Black people, we are still told that, no, we need to get over how apartheid used to be, like, let go. But we still have the after effects of apartheid.
Yeah.
They are still alive. They are still existing in our communities. And it's something that we really need to focus on in terms of how Black people now view themselves and how they see their lives, basically. And white people should not be ignorant and say, you were born in 99. What do you know about apartheid? I know exactly about apartheid because in varsity, you see that white kids sit together. It's everywhere. And I think it's still alive. And we still have a long road to go in terms of fighting those stigma and stereotypes.
Yeah.
For me, it's quite disgusting that after 30 years, whereby we are supposed to live in the so-called liberated free society, we're still experiencing this. And the issue of Pretoria High School is not the first incident that we see about racism. We grew up seeing racism. We are still experiencing racism at certain stages. So I don't know what to say, because it's quite disgusting that there are people who still feel that because of their skin color, they are more superior or important than others.
I mean, I'm looking at the chats here. And most of these girls were like, no. When I look at it, one says, no, why do they want to blame us? It's not like we were there. They should just get over it, right? Another one says, this is why girls high will never be prestigious again, because of problems like this that are just so small. And another girl says again, which was one that I found very, very, very confusing and just outright annoyed, is she's like, well, now, but then they speak, when they start speaking in their language, it gets annoying because I don't understand. But when you speak Afrikaans, it's okay for us to not be confused. You know, so it's like there's that double standard. And
it is double standards, honestly. They are superior or more important than others. So and also, hence, they feel like we should know Afrikaans. And It's that thing, you know, they can say whatever they want and they can never be held accountable
for that,
But then once umuntu mnyama, I know it's a bad thing, but we saw what happened in Tshwane yesterday, and we have seen DA is approaching South African human rights, but then they failed to act at the point whereby the Pretoria High School was raising this issue was being raised. They failed to act at that MP. They said we needed to validate the video. I mean, with the EFF thing, they didn't even say, okay, we are going to check the validity of the video or the originality of the video. But then they issued a whole poster decorated with Union Building at the back. And now they are saying we are going to Human Rights Commission. What are you going to do when you fail to act when grade 12s were being racist to each other?
You know what I've noticed about situations like this and things that come out of social media is that you actually get a lot of people in the comment section. If you guys actually check the comment section, you get a lot of white people saying, get over it. It's a long time ago. Why are you still on this? Why are you still discussing this? It's not like we were the ones who were causing you such pain. And it's a lot of thing, you know, because you get Black people also say, but yes, I didn't experience it, but I'm still living those effects of what happened in apartheid. I'm still living the fact that literally a small minority of Black people have land. A small minority of Black people still don't get the same opportunities as white people. They still
rely on grants.
And that is, they still white privilege at the end of the day. Mm. And for children, for grade 12 year olds or whatever the age these quotes goes were, to speak like this also just reflects the background, their homes. Yeah. At home, meaning they have these discussions.
Exactly.
At home.
True.
And honestly, I don't know if you guys have actually like watched these TikTok Reddits, but I would listen to these conversations. There's this one Reddit story where this woman is like, she asks the question, have you ever been in a conversation with other white people and you knew that they were being racist, even though and like
did
it
you
was
call
subtle.
Them out
exactly and did you call mm-hmm. them out mm-hmm. And there's this one woman on the TikTok Reddit, she's like you could tell by the conversation, the way they were speaking, that they were being racist. They were being very subtle about it, but mm-hmm. you could very much tell that they were being racist. And it was a matter of just removing myself from that thing. But she did not hold those people accountable. Mm-hmm. She did not tell them you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is wrong. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I think that's always what we lack is that you can say this person, is racist. But as a white counterpart, call them out and say you're being racist. Mm-hmm. And you do not realize that you're being racist. Exactly.
And that also proves that not all whites are still racist or are racist. Mm. So we are not trying to portray a picture to say white people are racist.
Why we're saying is that it
was disgusting that you find grade 12 learners who are grouping themselves because of the color of their skin.
Exactly.
It's quite disgusting.
And it still exists in terms of universities and varsity.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think I don't know if it's a subliminal thing or a subconscious thing that often happens. But when you go to campuses, you see them in their clutches and each culture or each race has its own cluster. And it's not to say that we do it on purpose. I think it's just that relatability
We are still living the land act.
Exactly.
Although we are not taught about it, like to say, okay, you are going through this, but then we still have that thing, yeah. Mm. I'm black. I should be staying with my black friends in Mdomnyama.
Exactly. Mm.
And then the whites will sit there, and we know that our kiddie cheese boys are all and everything. Mm.
And also going to the point of relating to the person. So a friend of mine said that she used to go to therapy, but she used to see a white therapist, and then she realized, no, we don't have much in common, because she would tell me, forget about your dad. But in a black child, you can't forget about your dad. He has to be there when you get married.
Exactly.
He has to take part in your lobola. Mm. So she really felt like, I need to change the person that I speak to about my problems, because we don't relate. So it goes back to, we sit together because we relate more to each other. And I think also how we are raised, and just it just goes along those lines.
Mm. And I think it also just goes back to as black people, when growing up, I know my mother was very adamant and very strict. She's like, you need to work 10 times harder than the white counter people. She's always that woman who says, yes, Gwen, I understand you're working hard, but you need to work harder if you want to get to that point, because there will be a white privilege somewhere down the line. And the thing is, it's not like I'm saying, it's not to say that all white people are racist. It's just how the system is. It's just how the country is that even if 30 years later, even in 2024, we still need to explain to the principal that this is my natural hair, that this is how I speak, that my culture is loud in general.
Hmm.
It's like we're still continuing.
It's exhausting.
It's disgusting having to explain yourself. I need to stick to that point. It's disgusting. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but then, I mean, we try to accommodate everyone. Mm. I try to speak to them the language they understand.
Mm.
I expect the same KTNC to say, okay, I'm trying. I mean, we have such a wonderful guy, Udahel, that we work with. He speaks our language. Mm. He communicates with us. So that shows you, it's not all white people, and it's because they want to.
Yeah,
it's not something they were born with. And not even that.
You know what's funny? When you say speaking about the same language, why do we have to clap hands for them when they speak Zulu?
Why do we have to clap hands
for them when they speak Tswana? Oh my gosh, you're speaking Tswana. We live in a rainbow nation country. You should be able to speak Tswana at this point in time.
And you call yourself South African.
You should
African.
Be able to speak Zulu. You should be like you say you're a South African. Exactly. You need to. Yeah. I mean, we are a bilingual country.
Yeah.
Why are you only speaking one language? Why are you only speaking two languages?
I know you. Most of you hate Usirile. I'm not saying I love him. I'm not saying I hate him. But multilingual, he is.
Yeah, he is.
He's very much multilingual. So I think that's just it's a we're in a country. I think if we're constantly wanting to be Rainbow Nation, Rainbow Nation, Rainbow Nation, then we need to be Rainbow Nation in every aspect, not just one, not just when rugby's played.
No, yes. Again, I was gonna say this, not actually try. To fit in a particular race or gender or whatever it is, we need to accommodate each other.
Well, speaking of accommodation, right? Again, another controversial topic on the platforms today, not today, but has been this week. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. No I can't. I don't want to butcher her name. I'm gonna call her Vanessa. Vanessa, Adichana. She's 23 years old and she entered Miss South Africa. And it's honestly, this topic has been so much talked about on social media. And I want us to just understand it. Firstly, understanding what's the difference between ethnicity and nationality. I think that's the first thing we need to get on the ground with. What do you guys think the difference is?
Well, I think with nationality, I think it has to go to... I didn't do my research. Yeah, I think,
the country that you were born in.
Yeah, the country you were born with. And then your ethnicity...
would be African heritage. Yes. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. But...
But we just want to dissect it properly, because obviously when we take a step back and when you hear white people say, no, I'm South African, I'm African. No, you're not African. Okay. You are South African. Now that's the difference between ethnicity and nationality. Yes. Right. Now in Vanessa's case, she has a Mozambican mother. She has a Nigerian father. Right. She lives in South Africa. Where does she fit in? What does it take to be a South African? Because clearly, it's debated. Clearly, and the thing is, according to laws, right? There was even a court thing that even Polokwane that happened, where it's a matter that even if you give birth to a child in South Africa, that child does not make that person South African, right? But in Vanessa's case, she says she's South African. She says she's proudly South African. Is she proudly South African?
You know, you are dragging me into this conversation. You are pulling me. And I told you, I don't want to speak about this topic. Because I don't want to be seemed or deemed as if I'm attacking a lady, a woman. Firstly. Again,
it's a safe space, guys. It's a safe space.
Yeah. Secondly, you speak about African, it's like I'm becoming Afrophobia and xenophobic at the same time. Mobile. But then if you go to her, if that's legit, her Twitter account, there's no TikTok.
There was no South African flag. There's nothing to show that you're South African.
Yes, I think that was one thing that was argued amongst people, is that nothing on her social media platforms is pushing South African. It's mostly pushing Nigerian. It's mostly pushing Mozambican. And let's not forget, South Africa is not particularly likes on Nigerians. We don't particularly like Nigerians. So my
don't forget me. Don't say me. No, I'm not saying I hate them. I'm not saying I love them.
It's not a matter of hate. It's not a matter of thing. It's just that there's so much. Let me put it like this: immigration and migrants and foreigners. It's a very touchy subject in South Africa.
Yeah.
So one thing that triggers it. It triggers everything. And this girl, who her parents are both not from the country, entered a competition that is meant to represent the country. And she says she's proudly South African, but her reflection, the things, the social media and all of that does not reflect that.
So me making it to the top 16, it has really showed that I do have the potential and the capabilities. I just need to obviously believe in myself as well, because I think most of the times I always doubt myself and I'm just like trying to take risks, but I'm also like not putting my whole in it, and I'm just like, you know, okay, let me just try. But then now I'm like really glad that I put in my whole heart and everything and I made it this far. So it really is motivating me to keep level-headed, concentrate, even with all the noise that is happening right now, with all the whole xenophobic attacks and all of that. I'm still telling myself, listen, this is not the time for you to give up. You didn't get this far to get this far and give up.
How are you dealing with the sudden attention, being it good or bad?
To be honest, entering this competition, I was so excited. And I think I didn't think that far as to like, oh, what will the public say and everything. And then I think once I got to top 16, that's when I felt it.
Mm.
Because Twitter was like going insane.
Mm.
Like, why is she there?
Mm.
Her name, she's not South African.
Yes.
Questioning my nationality, my parents as well. Questioning a lot of things and just like people's different opinions on what is a South African made of, basically. And at first I ignored it because I think I was also filled with so much excitement and like, I made it, so I don't care.
Mm.
And then when I started progressing in the competition, I think the criticism started getting more intense, like by the day. And then I think about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that's when I felt it, like, okay, fine. I'm representing a country and I don't feel the love from the people I'm representing. Is it worth it?
But what can we argue is South Africa? Because at the end of the day, we can say, what about the Europeans on the show as well? What about, why aren't they getting attacked? What about the Asians who are also on the competition as well? Why aren't they getting attacked? But just because she's African, now you see, so there's a lot that's going on into this topic. What do you guys think?
Okay, I'm gonna turn this thing around, because I told you guys, so I don't want to engage on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Can we proudly say that prior to this competition, her entering the competition, because the competition has been there, can we say you have seen her showing her, what's this, showing how proud she is to be in South Africa or to be a South African?
Ooh.
So let's not talk about why are we not attacking Europeans. We are not dealing with a matter of you are in South Africa.
Mm.
We are dealing with a matter you want to represent South Africa.
Mm.
So that's the challenge, Obo. Don't tell us we are not attacking Europeans. We are not attacking who. They are not claiming that they are proud to be South Africans. They are telling you straight, oh, I'm from Europe, I'm from Germany, I'm in South Africa, I've been staying in South Africa for 10 years. They are not saying, I want to be Miss South Africa or Mr. South Africa. So guys, let's be honest. Has she shown anything significant that she wants to be part of South African or she is South African?
Most of the applicants, the contestants, what they do when they enter Miss South Africa, they remove the history.
Yeah.
So they just delete everything on Instagram just to start all over again.
Yeah.
But also with her, on her Instagram, it doesn't show that I'm from South Africa. I live in Cape Town. This is what I do. I fight for South Africans. I fight for the right of South Africans.
Yeah.
And also for her, I feel really sorry for her because she knew maybe when she was growing up that one day I want to enter Miss South Africa. You make that investment in your life. I want to be Miss South Africa one day. Let me see how I engage with the people of the country. The flags on TikTok, let me just include that flag because I know the people are searching. People can search and they'll find you. And today the flags are not there. What should we say? Should we say, okay, she's apologizing or she's just continuing as it, like, it doesn't make sense. And I also don't want to attack her.
Yeah.
So
let's make it simple, Bafete. Let her try another competition. Not just let her try.
So she should
Because, she's beautiful. We have seen her. Yeah, she deserves to be Miss what, but not Miss South Africa.
Not Miss South Africa.
Maybe Miss Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, and also we have Miss World, and Miss World is now a standalone. I think she should try that
one. No, guys, but like, let me tell you something. First of all, there's nothing stopping someone from entering Miss South Africa. It's not a government entity. Yeah. Anyone can enter Miss South Africa.
Yeah. Yes, Queen Abed.
Secondly, Nandi, in her case, her argument is that she's been getting a lot of hate just based on the fact that her father, or not even her father, just on the fact that she's a foreigner. She's Mozambican. She's Nigerian. I know you don't want to get into it. But my thing is, this is also, the reason why I want us to just touch on it a little bit is that, is it not a matter? Is it not the problem here that her father is Nigerian? Is that not the problem? Because let's be honest, we have had contestants who have had backgrounds, either their family members or mother was either Zimbabwean or thingy, but it was not as extreme. I mean, we have seen people say, no, we don't want you because you're foreign. No, we don't want. But now it's like, it's the pushing. And what I'm noticing on social media is that they are highlighting the fact that she's Nigerian. And the thing is, she's not Nigerian. She's half Nigerian. And so is that not the problem?
I think it's because, like, South Africans have seen how Nigerians treat us. So you go to Joburg, you see how Nigerians are disrespectful to South African women mostly. So it comes back, it comes from that mindset to Kutivele. A Nigerian person does not respect a South African person. So it just goes to that. But it's funny because we also support their music. We support their music.
So it's not an easy, it's not a simple.
So now I wanted to tell you guys, in terms of Miss South Africa, I knew that there's a competition called Miss South Africa, but I only became interested in Miss South Africa when I saw Zozi. And then there was Mashudu last night. I'm not sure if it's Mashudu or it's spelled somewhere, but Shudu. You know who I'm talking about. And then last day it was a thing we had triggered in a Gale Pavel. So for me, I'm not even attacking her. Hence, I'm saying I didn't want to get involved in this topic because I know it's gonna be a matter of she has Nigerian genes. So for me, it's not about that, but I believe it's like true. You saying you are proud of, not in a bad way, you're saying you're proud of Wanaka next door, but then you're not disciplining Wanaka Kwahenu, we have seen, what's this one, DJ, Uncle Waffles from Swaziland. And it's not a bad thing. She was bragging about her country when everyone thought she was South African. So I don't want that case again to say, we'll be bragging about someone to say, okay, we are proud she's a South African. She's been staying here for 25 years or whatever it is. And then now she goes on public and say, hey, Joe, I'm from Nigeria.
So, hey, guys, we hope, we wish her the best for the competition, and let's see how it goes. You know,
maybe
speaking,
we should have, and this year we should take a break from this competition.
I honestly think we should, guys. Miss Lisa has been running longer than you guys.
They need to take a break.
Anyway, guys. Okay, so just now, speaking of nationalities and all that, right? There was a video that was circulating, I think, a few weeks back of another foreign national who was in prison and bragging about the luxurious life of being a prisoner in South Africa. I mean, if we can actually just listen to that clip, we can hear him talk about how, you know, he gets 3 meals a day and how he just has fun. That's just wasting time there.
Free education.
Yeah, hello haters. You put us in prison and you think we are suffering. No, my brother, we are doing extremely fine. Look how happy we are. This morning we had breakfast and in the afternoon we had lunch.
Yeah.
And we had supper and we are about to eat dinner, my brother. We are doing extremely fine. We are not even suffering at all. We are happy. Yeah. And look here, we are not even paying rent.
No.
We are not buying electricity.
No.
Nothing, my brother. We don't even cook food. They give us food for free. We don't even cook.
No.
The difference is the same, my brother. No, we are not. No, my brother.
We don't need toiletries.
We don't need toiletries. We give for free. And the education is going to be free in prison.
Yeah.
We're not suffering. We're not suffering. If you think we are suffering, no, my brother. You are wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
So obviously following that, it seemed as if it triggered something within the Department of Correctional Services. And there was a surprise raid at the Johannesburg Correctional Center, otherwise known as the Sun City Prison. And obviously when they were conducting the raid, the police and the National Task Team found and removed many things, honestly. From there, they found things that were hidden in the toilet seats, they were hidden under the beds and in the mattresses, behind television sets, inside pillowcases. And from there, they found PlayStation 5s, makeup sets, like anything you could think of that is electronic was found in those cells. But if you actually look at the conditions of the cells, honestly, they were very atrocious. But it seemed as if didn't matter. As long as they had these devices, it was great. As long as they had these cell phones, it was great. But the thing is, what's funny is that the National Unit Commissioner says, no, sorry, not the National Unit, but the National Commissioner of Correctional Services, Makgoti Tobagale, says the unit managers of these prisons need to be accountable for what was found in those prisons. Because at the end of the day, they are responsible for those units. Mm. And how do you not notice that there's a plasma TV.
How did it enter there?
In someone's thing. Let's listen to Tobagale speak.
There are offenders, for instance, in the first cell that we searched. Those are offenders that frequent courts because some of them have further charges. Okay, so they are exposed to the outside world, and when they mix, that's during the time when they get transported. They exchange these contrabands. Some of them actually keep them inside their bodies. So sometimes it's difficult to detect them. The second part is we have officials that also participate in these activities. The third one, family members, friends who visit, because these offenders are sentenced offenders. They have access to visits. Even our remandees have access to the same. So there are different ways, and we always have to be on alert to ensure that we block them before they come in. That's the preferred position. The position that we are in now of searching for them when they are already inside is not the preferred position.
Commissioner, what does this say now for security measures? You've seen what has happened here. You've uncovered some of the contraband as well. But going back to the drawing board, what are you going to be doing next? I mean, there has to be action taken in terms of strengthening your security systems.
Well, we first start with the unit managers. Every unit, we are in this unit, so there's a unit manager who now needs to account on what we found today here. Secondly, is to tighten security, especially around the movements. Movements to court, movements to hospitals, movements even inside the center. For those that visit the clinic or they attend to rehabilitation programs, because these movements are the ones that provide an opportunity for these contrabands to be exchanged.
And so, guys, obviously, we went to go speak to the police and prison civil rights union just to get an understanding of what they're saying, and they're saying, no, don't get it twisted. Most of the time, the contrabands are smuggled in through families and through relatives and not even the wardens themselves.
But
imagine. So you're telling me
an entire
family, exactly, a family member smuggled in a whole plasma TV and a PlayStation that costs $5,000 by Jew. And they smuggled that in.
There's no way. I mean, I get the cigarettes, the money, the headphones, all of those things. You can smuggle that in. But a plasma, a PlayStation, a warden has to know. You are in a relationship with that warden. You know, at this time, I'm going to get this. Mm. Actually, they could be the one that are actually buying them these things. So they can't be blaming family members. They...
it's actually funny that we found these things, because when you grow up watching Abo Yizo Yizo, you see smoking in prison and everything. So seeing it play out in real life, you realize,
In fact, they're so comfortable.
Yeah. So we can't blame who? We can't blame government. We can't blame families. I guess it's that thing where prison are not a rehabilitation centers
anymore.
And they need to be rehabilitation centers.
They are not, because even Allah Kwakasi, when cheetahs are fighting, they will say, I'll go and banditi for you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Joe, I'll go to that holiday. You can book me, go San City. I'll let you go. So I think we need to restructure our correctional services. They need to do something with it.
I mean, you can go on.
Okay. I mean, those things, some of the things we have to agree with, it's family members.
Mm.
Some of the things are wardens. We have seen on TikTok videos of wardens taking selfies, taking videos with criminals. I'll say criminals because they are in prison. So we need to change the system in terms of correctional service, what needs to be done. And once they say you are convicted, what should happen to you?
I mean, Hemen, when you say that we can't really blame anyone, I think we can blame people. We can blame the government. We can blame the wardens who are supposed to be searching them, who are supposed to be actually making sure that these criminals remain criminals. Mm. You can't be a criminal and be taking a TikTok and telling me you're having a luxury life on my tax money.
If you're going to blame...
No, also, when you... I think... It goes back to the part of human rights. They tell you that everyone has a right.
Yeah.
But you violated someone else's right. You raped this person. You murdered this person. Now when you go to prison, suddenly you have to be treated like a normal human being. Mm. And I think our government needs to move from that and treat criminals the way that they treated their victims. So that even when... I think also crime would go down a bit.
Yeah. Mm.
Because if you go to prison, you go to school, you do very nice things, you come back out there, you are a better person.
Mm. Mm.
But you don't really feel that no, this thing that I did, it's wrong and it's ruined someone else's life. So I think we need to move from that.
Yeah.
Everyone has human rights, but to what extent?
And the thing is, like, at when you're in prison, there are certain rights that you're revoked from.
Mm. Yeah.
Not even should fulfill. There are certain rights. You go into prison, there are just certain rights that they will be limited to you because you are a criminal by the law. Mm-hmm. And when you go inside, you need to be... And the thing is, there are rehabilitation programs. Mm. There are skill sets that they teach in prison, like the cooking, like the gardening. Those ones are fine. It's fine. They are supposed to be there to rehabilitate you. But for you to live a life where you actually prefer to go to prison because it's a vacation... Rather than you going there and being scared. Here's the thing. Here's my problem is that they live a luxury life like they're not being punished for the crimes that they committed. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's why I'm saying there needs to be accountability. Because at the end of the day, we sent them into prison. They killed your grandmother. They killed your entire family. And then you find out Mutwana ulubechi skim sam.
Sure.
On a plasma team. Lubile, after skim sam ulata PlayStation. She switches on the PlayStation and plays. While the warden is just taking rounds and just watching.
We can't shy away from the fact that what this guy raised on the video, it's actually what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting free education, they're getting free meals, they are getting whatever they want, luxury things that even other people who are outside the world, law abiding, they don't have or they don't afford to buy those things. Hence, for me, it goes back to saying we need to change laws in terms of correctional services.
Mm.
It should be clearly for rehabilitation, not a holiday resort, because now recently it's a resort.
It's a resort.
So,
yeah.
He needs to draft something new to.
I mean, he says he wants to bring back the death penalty. Are we for the death penalty? Are we not for the death penalty?
I'm a bit skeptical about point, that.
At this point, I'm worried because we have this is the conversation that we're having on the other day. Mm. We have seen cases that were dropped because of investigating officers not doing their work. So if you're going to introduce death penalty, how many victims of crime will actually be victims of death penalties? Mm. So and before we talk about death penalty, let's make sure we fix. Yeah,
I was even about to say, because half the time, sometimes the police in South Africa, they can get it wrong. Yeah. So now what if you send the wrong person to death and it's a miss?
But now I support if you rape, they must chow.
Okay, that one. Yeah. I support this.
If you rape, if you still chow the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, I support that one. They don't have to kill you. If you still, they chow the hand. If you steal again, they chow the other hand.
Now you have no hands.
Yeah.
That it means you won't be stealing anymore.
And then if you rape, they chow that thing.
Now we are safe.
Anyway, guys, speaking of safety, there is a family, right, that's been living in Soweto in a tiny, tiny room. Guys, when I say tiny, the most tiniest room to ever exist. And this room used to be a school toilet. Mm-hmm. So the room's measurements are about 80 meters in length and 60 meters wide, with a curtain only in the middle that separates the kitchen from the sleeping area that can fit only one double bed, and an entire room and an entire family of two Nandi?
It's three
family members living in that room. Nandi would just explain the story to us in maybe in a little bit more detail, because she was the one that wrote it.
You know, well, for this story, because one of the sad things that I found out about the story was that these are old people and they've been staying there for like 33 years, and their child was born there and raised in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Mandela became president. No, so we continue.
That's not funny,
Emma. It's not funny with him, it's very sad. Because when the child explained, Uguti, how was it like growing up in that space? You know, school kids, and I even laughed about
this. I'm sorry, but school kids can be so mean.
They're so mean. Because how can you play this game? Like, kinalicho mimzala, and then ore kiman, kikwena, udula guy, arudula toilet. And it was very sad because he literally cried. He cried because he was like, I'm tired. Now he's 30 years old now.
So they moved in there when he was 3 years old.
Gwena, he was born there. He was born 94. So they moved in 91.
Kitin Twal.
Yeah. our famous president should meet his child.
And it's said that the housing department are shifting the blame to the grandfather, the owner.
Why?
I heard that thing. Someone canceled the application.
Yeah, they were like, no, he withdrew the application. Where else? When he applied for a house in 96, when he went and go to just inquire about it, Watulugutino, the house has been given to someone else.
Did they say why?
They didn't tell him why. They told him, you know what, in order for you to have another house, just remove this one and apply for another one, because your subsidy apparently has no house. And then today they're telling him, no, Mkulu, you're the one who removed this, so now it's gonna drag. And it's sad because they can't even have a normal life where you have your own house. When you go out there, school kids, you can't sleep. You know, have to wake up very early because they make noise. It's a primary school, so those kids make noise.
Nandi, let me get this straight. So this room is actually on a property of a school?
Yes, it's on a property of a school. So learners, it's in Basani. Basani in Shawela, Soweto.
So where are we now?
So what is
the department saying now? Because
so apparently they said they were going to try to move him this week to a flat in Roodepoort. But he called me this morning and he told me, they are asking for his copies of SASSA grant. I don't know why. Because they have his documents. I don't know why. I honestly don't know. I think also our government is just, it's very sad. And for the fact, and I just asked them, do you know that these people are pensioners?
I was about to ask, like, they must be very, very old, and for them to live in such a small room.
Small room. So you just go out, like, you. That's where you exist. It's a passage, literally a passage. And also this guy, the boy, because he started, you know, puberty stage. He was like, no, now I want to go to my own room. So this little space, it does not have a window. It's just small where you can just sleep.
Is that his room?
Where are they from?
Oh, so the dad is from Matatiela. So the mother is from Lesotho. So they got married here in South Africa and all of that.
I was born in 1996. I was born in the
Guys, but yeah, hey, thank you guys for joining us. That's all for this week's News Wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast review and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production and our producer is Dembuzo. Don't forget you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories here at the SL Cabinet from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. It's a bye.
Bye.